You know that Elton John song, Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was like perfect match for me.
Interesting.
I can't say sorry. So that happened to me, and seeing her made me realize that, you know, people loves her. People wants to be more connected with her. That was something made me realize that maybe something I have to, you know, work on myself, on my level, on my thinking pattern. Maybe there is something which I'm not able to recognize.
Right.
And that was the first moment. And after that, of course, I had many bits realization, because once you start observing, you feel that a lot is coming out.
Right.
First time I started began with the healing and the meditation workshop I attended. And, you know, in the first meditation workshop, and my eyes was crying. I was
okay. What does that mean?
The tear was dropping out of my eyes. I was crying, but the tear was coming out.
Hello, and welcome to your favorite voice of business psychology. I am your host, Kritika Kashyap, a management psychologist. Today, we have Ira Kaur, a TED Talk speaker, a guiding star in the world of self-love and spiritual wisdom. Our chat ranges from embracing self-love to reaching self-actualization, exploring the thin line between narcissism and authentic self-appreciation. We connected the scientific underpinnings of healing to contemporary issues, including the impact of AI on wellness. Ira's perspectives are the flashlight for Gen Z, guiding them to more balanced and self-aware existence. Let's tune in the first part of this captivating discussion. Hi, Ira. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, Psych and Success.
Thank you, Kritika, for welcoming me here. And I'm so excited to actually know what we can share with the world.
Definitely. And more so, I wanted you to be, especially you to be on the podcast, because I know you for like a bunch of years now. And the kind of work that you have been doing, helping people all around the world with your all your healing, all your self-love coaching. And I do not know the plenty of things that you do. It just gets a bit overwhelming for me to even remember. But that is what I wanted you to, you have been sharing a lot with me and helping me as well, time and again. So now I want you to help the listeners. So why don't you introduce yourself?
Surely. So I'm Ira Kaur. I'm self-love mentor, author of the book, Self-Love, The Power Within You. And I have a jewelry brand, which is Self-Love Jewels. So I am all about self-love. Like my whole idea is about like how I can help people to discover themselves and be on the path of self-love. Because self-love is not about just a one-day job. It's about self-discovery. And it's about path of self-realization to self-actualization. So that words may be heavy, but it is something self-realizes that, okay, you know who you are.
Right.
And you feel very good or great about yourself. But there comes a time when people also recognize you. Yes, you are very special. And you have something to offer to the world. So that is self-actualization, when people also know that what's your real essence of life.
That's amazing, because I think that is one, I mean, every other person has a need and a very internal need to also be recognized in the society. I mean, I would love to know that, because it is a journey to dive into, and it is somewhat even difficult to get into, because we do not think about ourselves as much as we think about other people and just the regular work that we are doing. So how did it come to you, and when was it? Because I know that you started your journey in the corporate world. I believe you started with marketing.
Yeah.
And then what happened? How did you get into this domain of work?
You know, it's very interesting journey, especially sometimes even me to hear it back and like, wow, what an adventure that I've lived. So from my childhood, I was actually very obsessed about myself. So I would say more of a narcissist personality.
Well,
eat dinner and watch TV or talk to each other, I was watching the mirror.
That's a little too much for me as well. Though I love my mirror, but I've never done that.
And you will believe, like, I remember in my days when I was in college, so the mobile, like, that was a new thing. And, you know, there was no front camera also.
Yeah.
And I had an exam the next day, and nobody was at home. And, like, 116 clicks I had of myself.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I can do better. And, you know, people around me used to come and tell me, you know, you are totally obsessed about yourself. You should learn how to love other people also.
Okay.
I was like, really? You don't have any other works to do?
None of your business.
So these things happened in my life. And there came a moment where, like, the work-wise and career, everything was fine, but there was an emotional chaos within me. Like, I was feeling that I was not having good friends. Like, my friends keep changing in every 6 months. I was not consistent. So, like, my mom used to be like, can you ever stick with a friend? And like, what can I do if they fight? That happened, and I was like, okay, life went through, but something inside me felt like, is something wrong? Is something wrong that I'm thinking is not the right way? Or I should something tweak? So first time in my life, I felt that bit of realization is like that something I need to improve in myself. And I will tell you a story behind it because, you know, story can actually transform people's life.
Yes,
my friend, her name, I won't name her, but she was like completely opposite to me. You know, if there was a fight between us and she will write me like 1,000 times sorry.
Oh.
And she will like, I literally write that, you know, I'm sorry in 2000. And sometimes I'm sorry, I love you, just forget about the things that happened. And for me, it was like saying sorry to someone is like out of dictionary.
Okay.
I'm like, I cannot say sorry. It was, you know, that Elton John song, sorry seems to be the hardest word.
Oh, yeah.
That was like perfect match for me.
Interesting.
I can't say sorry. So that happened to me. And see her made me realize that, you know, people loves her. People used to be more connected with her.
Right.
Even if I had someone, like a crush on someone, and that person is more interested on her. So
that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, actually. So that was something made me realize that maybe something I have to, you know, work on myself, on my level, on my thinking pattern. Maybe there is something which I'm not able to recognize.
Right.
And that was the first moment. And after that, of course, I had many bits realization because once you start observing, you feel that a lot is coming out.
Right.
There I, like, first time I started begin with the healing and the meditation workshop I attended.
Yeah.
You know, in the first meditation workshop. And my eyes was crying, I will say.
Okay, what does that mean?
The tear was dropping out of my eyes. I was crying, but the tear was coming out.
Okay.
And, you know, and being very, you know, conscious person, I was like, I hope nobody's seeing me. So I'm like, so just quickly, just
wiping
it off and like, and checking nobody saw me. Thank God. Okay. Literally. And after that, I felt like my heart feels lighter. And at that moment, I thought that, okay, whatever it was a good try. And I can try more often.
Okay.
So that practice I started with meditation and like helping myself or healing myself, like knowing about the chakras, how they function, how they work, and knowing your energy body. And, you know, also the values of life, like how the universal law of life is, what karma theory is, and understanding that you should not do something to others that you don't want things for other people to do on you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, every day implementing this particular sentence is a hard task. It's not easy. Trust me, it's not easy at all. Especially for a person who thinks like, why other people?
I think it's also because we do not even observe this, that we do not even question that. I mean, am I doing the right thing? I mean, would it be okay if somebody else does that to me? It's difficult to keep questioning yourself unless and until you are in a habit of that. And making a habit, again, it takes a lot of practice. A
lot of time and a lot of practice. And that's what I, you know, but this practice will help you have acceptance towards life.
Yep.
So this is how, like, and trust me, it's not 1 year, 2 year game, huh? It will take years.
Oh God, we are in here for a long run thing then.
Yeah.
It's not a quick fix.
It's not at all a quick thing. You know, one day you will realize one thing and another day you will realize another thing. And you'll, like onion, you will keep peeling off a layer and you will find one more layer to go.
Oh my God. Yeah, this is, it's like all the years that we have lived and all the things accumulated that we have been doing and working on those. It's actually like, as you said, it's like onion peels.
Onion peels completely. And, you know, with that onion peels, you have a bit of teardrops also.
You know, you're not really crying, but tears are coming.
Yes. If you see that, there was a lack of vulnerability also. Like, it was really hard for me to accept my vulnerability. And, you know, that's where the ego comes. You know, you poker face yourself with everything. Yes, I'm the tough one. Nothing can in the world move me. I used to have everything. I can actually vouch for it that I was a very egoistic person.
Okay. I've not seen that version of you.
That's when, you know, people see me today and they say, really? I'm like, yes, you know, if I can change, you can also change. So don't worry.
Yeah, and then even like sharing that you are, I mean, just getting an acceptance of that you were different, you were egoistic before, but then sharing it with people, it's altogether a different ballgame. You have to be very, like, very okay with yourself, very confident and in acceptance of yourself that you're able to tell other people that, yes, I was egoistic.
Absolutely. That's where I said that when you keep on peeling off this, the onion layers, you'll understand with every cry that it's okay. These are natural. You can't handle it. And everybody has it. It's just like some are good at hiding it, some are good at accepting it, but everybody is the same.
So, Ira, I know that you mentioned that you are into self-love jewelry as well. And how did that come across? Because that is something, I mean, because I know you, I know bits and pieces of what self-love jewelry mean.
Yeah, especially because I'm like a jeweler. So I've been to jewelry field from like last 12, 13 years. And I've like done gemology, jewelry designing and grading, everything. And so I have my jewelry business. But the fact is, the twist that we added in the self-love jewel is about the research of the quantum energy field and how, you know, a symbol, a pattern can actually change your energy fields. So,
okay.
This is about, let me just help you understand with the theories of light. Everything that you wear, that you see, that you eat, affects you somewhere or the another, right? So if people say that everything is in the mind, then don't wear clothes, don't wear anything, and don't eat anything, don't drink anything, let your mind do everything.
Yeah. That sounds right.
That sounds right. So not everything is in your mind. Mind is part of you, and there are other parts of you also. This body is also yours, right? Mm-hmm. So in this way, the jewelry that you wear, like I can see you wearing a neck piece, that what made you wear it?
I just like the design on it. That's a Buddha trick.
Like the design on it, yeah. Exactly. So it just makes you feel good, right?
Yeah.
So when there are, certain energy patterns which actually enhance your energy field.
Okay.
I give an example of a very powerful energy pattern, which is the chakras.
Okay.
So there are 7 chakras in your body, and these are energy centers. And all these energy centers are made is with the energy, like in the body, we have the nerves running through our hand, like running the blood. Same way, we have in the energy body, we have energy systems and energy nadis, or we can say the meridians, which runs through our body. And where the maximum meridians connect becomes the energy center, which we call chakra.
Okay. Right.
So chakras are the energy centers where different meridians meet.
Mm-hmm.
And these chakras are on the specific parts of the body, and which also take care of the nearby organs.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So nearby organs. And these have a specific energy pattern. It's like they make a specific energy shape.
Right.
Yeah. So when we wear that shape, what happens? It helps you align with that shape more bit.
Okay.
I have a very good example in this. Have you heard that people saying when you are about to have a baby, watch good pictures of babies?
Yeah. I've heard of it.
Yeah?
Hmm.
What's the reason behind it? Your body has mirror neurons.
Okay.
So your body copy things. Mirror things.
Not
when
right.
you see something more often, it's somewhere like you will tend to blend or make yourself like this, and it all happens subconsciously. Like after sometimes when you see a couple, you see like, oh, they look like brother sisters.
Yeah. That happens. That I've noticed. Yeah.
So that's the mirror neuron. Like whatever you like, whatever you see, your body mirror neurons capture those and, try to shape it accordingly.
Very interesting. And because I've heard of these things all around, and even I'll say my family is a lot into such space. But then you explaining it through in a very scientific way actually helps me understand better. And
absolutely. Even if you see that, with the 4G and 5G coming, the amount of the birds are like getting reduced. Like, I can't see sparrows around me.
Sparrows are almost extinct now.
Exactly.
At least in India, it is.
Yeah, it is. So why is that? So because the fields, the vibration, everything is going and is changing. So I'll give you an example for this. Yesterday, one person asked me, because he saw one of my video and where I was saying that any sound that you produce stays in this universe forever and ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, how? So
okay.
I like, okay, let me explain you. While I'm speaking, it's changing the air modulation.
Yeah.
It's changing and it's touching every air particle. It's moving and moving and moving. One air particle will touch the another and another and another and another.
Yeah.
And it's a wave, and it will keep on going far, far, far. Because in this entire world, we are all connected.
But doesn't it dissolve with time? Like,
it will. Yeah. It will if there's a stop. But there's no stop. Everything is moving. You are moving. You are a vibrational being. Like, if you know that your entire body is vibrating at this moment. Every cell, because see, you are trillion cells, right? But this cells is not attached. It's not completely, you know, it's not a solid stuff.
It's it's not stable. Yeah, yeah.
It's moving, and anything that moves makes a sound.
Right.
It's a vibration. So it's a frequency that we can hear or we can't hear, but there is a sound. Like, okay, you can't hear your kidney making a sound right now, right? Just do an endoscopy and you'll get to know how many sounds it's making.
Okay. Okay, yes. I've never got it done, but I just might. I would want to know what does my kidney sound like.
Yeah, yeah. So there are different sounds of different body parts. And you know why? Because every cell is moving in a particular direction to create a harmony. And when the cell is in disharmony, it's creating a noise, which is like disalignment of the pattern that they're supposed to be.
Right.
And this will also create a dis-ease. So sound is how the world started. It started, the universe started with the Big Bang Theory. So there was a sound and there was a light.
Right.
And everything started creating.
Yeah.
So there is a, like, there's powerful sounds in this universe which can actually make you or break you.
This is going very interesting. Very exciting for me.
Like, I give an example for this, you know. If I say just like that, you know, Kritika, I love you. How does it sound like?
And I love you too. Very, very loving.
Yeah, see, this is how you reciprocate me, right? So if I say, Kritika, it's just not going well. It's just, I can't handle it anymore. How does it make you feel?
Yeah, a bit negative.
A bit negative. So your words can create love. Your words can create a war.
Yeah. And that has been happening all around, even till date. I mean, even in fact, it has gotten into an extreme. Like every other day, we are listening that there are riots or wars happening.
I know.
In some part of the world.
Absolutely. So, in fact, in the Vedic scriptures, it is very much, you know, specifically specified that certain sounds or certain mantras or the chant, you can say, if it is repeated, it produces certain sound or wave frequency which can create wars. And certain mantras and chants are there which can actually, you know, clear all the wars, or you can say which can actually like start love or peace and affection.
Oh, wow.
Because it's all sound.
That's amazing. So when we talk about these things, have you also seen, because the new generation which is coming, they are very, like, they are, first off, they are, I mean, they are surrounded with technology, with, as you mentioned, 4G, 5G and whatnot, G to come. AI is booming like anything. How are they taking all of this? And because you also work with, you work with corporates, you work with individuals, how have you experienced that they are taking these healing practices, and what are also the challenges because of technology that they are facing, and they are, the upcoming generations would also probably face?
Talking about the today generation, I will say that, you know, very important thing is lack of awareness, lack of knowledge. So there is a lot of information on the internet, like talking about why you need to do meditation, what will help you, this and that.
Yeah.
But nobody talks about the science also behind this, like the science behind it. And the younger generation, which is coming up, they need practice. logical answers.
Yeah.
They need very scientific, very logical, and they want to know everything, like how. And you know, the best part is they will say, there's no science behind it. And the only question I will ask that, how much science have you learned?
Okay. I like the counter question.
Like, they haven't learned anything. They haven't researched anything. And they'll come and say, oh, it's not scientific. Like, come on. At least, no. You know, until and unless you won't explore it, you won't get to know what's behind it.
Right.
So when you connect with these youngsters with, you know, very logical reasoning behind it, they connected very well and they start doing it because every youngster these days really want to get well, be happy in their life, be, you know, be rich, be amazing in everything. Yeah. But they are feeling that they are lacking somewhere. So, because of that, they want to try, but they want a good reasoning behind.
Absolutely.
So, when they get the reasoning, once they're like, you know, when their mind is satisfied with the answer, then they will open up their heart. Okay, let me try it out.
Yep. But then, isn't it like one person at a time then? Because in the previous generations, what I've seen is that people were, if they saw results, they were this, they'll just start believing in things. And there were definitely, there were a lot of people who were skeptical, but then now the skepticism has increased a lot with the coming generation. They want the truth, they want to be very clear. And in the previous generation, it's like, okay, this is something that has worked, let's carry on with it.
Yeah. So I would say, Kritika, in this part, no, there is always a mix thing. Because in younger generation also, they are very much like open to it. It's just that, you know, they need right guidance. And once they get that right guidance, they are into it. Because they want to be the better version of themselves so quickly. Like everybody these days want quick results.
Absolutely.
So I mean, you know, like somebody asked me like why I need to do the breathing exercise. What happened with the breathing exercise? The question. Like, okay, we are breathing all the time, right?
Yeah. Why do I need to exercise on that now?
Absolutely. So the fact is, you know that the level of the hemoglobin levels, you get your test done, you get your report. It is very much science that if your lungs are functioning on a better level, they take, like, they produce more oxygen, they take more intake of oxygen, and in the bone marrow, the better quality of blood is made.
Okay.
And with this, with your breathing exercises, your lymphatic system work proper. And your lymph fluid flows in your, like your entire bloodline, or not bloodline, but your entire wirings of nerve. And your lymph fluid has the capacity to clear out the toxins of the body. And, you know, for the meditation also, for every people, it is different. Some people, for some people, it's easier to start a meditation just by closing eyes. For some, it is very difficult to just close the eyes.
Yeah. So is it something to do with how their, you know, how in stress they are, or how their kind of brain is functioning? Are they calmer as a person, or are they more, let's say, extroverted or always very full of energy?
Yeah. So you can say about that also. And when you talk about the brain functionality, I will say that it's like, you know, higher people working on higher beta level.
Okay.
So the brain mind has different states of consciousness is like beta, alpha, theta, delta. So your brain states of mind. So if people are a high beta level, like their brain functionality is going too high, they're like too much of thinking. So for them to stop the thinking is not easy. So for them, it's like running. First running, then breathing, then or like heavy exercises or jumping. That will make them a little bit calmer down. Mm-hmm. Then they should try for closing their eyes. Or even if closing the eyes in the silence is not, they still can't do it, then at least do some chant or like a repetition of a mantra. That will help them. So for, because everybody is on a different level right now. So you have to see what is for you a good start.
Got it. Okay.
And I was just thinking that I was about to tell about the jewelry and we went all to the signs and we didn't talk about the jewelry at all.
Yes, getting back to the jewelry then.
Yeah. So, this jewelry we are making is all about consciously made. And with this conscious effort of the design patterns and which we have taken from sacred geometry. And with that, we infuse it with certain, you can say, more sound frequencies, which will help the jewelry to get really enriched. And enriched in the sense of the vibration. And it is made in brass metal with gold plating, like the solid gold plating on it. So the gold had its own, the essence of getting with the skin, and it really helps heal the skin faster.
Okay.
So gold as a compound, like if you see that all the beauty products, like they add the extra gold to bring more shine.
Yep.
So even in the, food supplements or even the Ayurvedic medicines, they have the gold bhasam, which is like, it's sona chandi chavan prash, which we say that if your body absorbs the metal with which it is attached also. So even in the US and many other countries, I've seen they have already launched the patches, the vitamin and mineral patch. So
for the outdoor body
also, mood patches also, these are made with certain chemical compounds. And you apply that patch on your hand and that will help you soothe your mood, soothe your energy level, soothe your system.
Wow.
Everything is already there.
That's amazing to know. I had no idea about it.
Yes, it is there. Stem patches. There are multiple patches which are coming these days. And it's in progression.
So because you have also worked with, let's say, corporates, have you seen any difference in the kind of problems that different generations have and what are their perspectives on that? How do they take it?
There is one major difference, which is which I see in people is, The younger generation which is coming, they are very anxious. They are nervous. They are having more anxiety issues than the older generation, which I saw.
What do you think the reason could be?
We won't say that the competition has become less or more because it was always there.
Right.
It's more about handling things. The younger generation, I don't know what's happening. Maybe I will say that's too much of information also and lack of practicality or practical education. They don't have the real grounds of everything.
Right. Yeah.
And the influence marketing, which is happening all around you all the time, that a gullible mind or a mind which is developing, especially at the younger age, picks up so many things that may or may not be healthy for that person. The vibration, you can say so practicality again. I got that scanner which scans the harmful radiations.
Okay.
Yeah. So I bought it specially to see that how harmful my phone is, what energy vibration it is giving. and what vibration my laptop is giving. So I scanned my phone, and before it was like zero, when here, when I brought the phone here, it was like 54.
Okay, and what's the range, like how like much
zero harmful that is? Five, and above that, it's like the harmful radiation. Then I like got closer to the laptop, and it like jumped to 300 to 400 level. I was like, oh my God.
No, a laptop, that's not coming in real time. Yeah, that's not coming near me now.
So this is what, you know, these are so much of vibration and so harmful radiations which we are surrounded these days.
And we cannot even like get rid of it. The world revolves around it now.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, there's no escape.
Yeah, so what can people do to, you know, to maybe with this rapid advancement, what can people do to make sure that they are in a healthy body and a healthy mind?
Tough question.
Okay.
I will tell you from there. When I used to go to my college for, like, I did my MBA in marketing operations, I used to come back, I was like dead tired. I'm like always lazy. And wake up with the brain fog that I can't wake up like from out of the bed in like 1 minute. No, it never happened before. And, you know, in everything, I was frustrated and irritated because I was in low on energy.
Okay.
And this happened to me, like even driving a car, felt like, well, you know, when you have to give so much of accelerator or clutch or like, my legs would start paining. It felt like the nerve inside me saying, please, no more race.
Okay. All right.
So there comes the moment when I thought that it's not working out. And I need to help myself to become a better version of myself. Because I don't want to live a life like this. I want to go to adventure. I want to travel around the world.
Yep, absolutely.
And there I started with, understanding about the mindset, understanding about how important it is to take breaks from your mobile, from your laptop, from your digital world, and how important it is for you to know your breath, that are you deeply breathing? Is your breath is going to your stomach, or is your breath is just staying at your chest level? So how well you are breathing. And because if you're not oxygenated well, then you will have a slow deterioration in your lifespan also in that way. And
okay.
Because your breath is everything.
Yeah,
and
it's
some science of logic you can give it. Like, you're breathing, you're alive. You're not breathing, okay, you'll die.
That is true. Plus, I mean, it has been, I think last year itself, I learned about breathing from the stomach, and it was so true to me as well, because somebody told me, I was like, yeah, I'm breathing just with my chest, and the air is not really reaching my stomach, and it is, and hence not reaching the whole body.
Yes. So, Kritika, if somebody will ask, like, the air only stays in the lungs, it doesn't go to the stomach.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'll clarify for other people.
Yes, please. I am not the best person to do that.
So basically what happens is, when you breathe in deeply and allow your stomach to expand, the air doesn't go to your stomach. Basically, your diaphragm goes down and it gives more space to your lungs expand.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. And when your stomach goes inside, your diaphragm pushes the lungs and it clears out all the unnecessary the air. Because it's not only the oxygen, or it's not only the carbon dioxide, it's many gases. So it releases all the gases outside your lung.
Okay. Yeah.
That's how your lungs breathe well.
I like that answer better. I would also want to understand from you with this, what's your take on like AI and the rapidly evolving technology and the advancement that is going on and people more and more getting, I have friends who are just surrounded with all the different screens, and from one screen they're switching, taking a break from their world, and they're switching to another screen, let's say their phone or their iPads, watching something, and then they switch to something else, they're gaming, and then they get back to work.
Yeah.
So what do you think, what's your take on that, and where are things going, and where are things going to go even further?
In my view, I will say that the Earth evolution keeps happening. Every time it's like goes to its peak level, then it's like destruct everything to zero and then get back to life. So it is again the evolution which is happening and going on. So yeah, it's also important to learn about AI to understand, because you have to connect and correlate with everyone. Because it's the new thing which is coming up, and it's really like to like take everyone's life some or the other way. So for that, yes, we will like some AI products and something, we won't like it, but we can't escape it. So we know we need to deal with it and get better or good at it.
Right. So I know that you work with a lot of corporates and you conduct a lot of different workshops for employees, for their well-being and for their mental health, and it has reaped a lot of benefits for them. So what exactly do you help them with?
I help them with connecting with their mind, body and soul. So for me, working as a wellness person is more about that you need to consider all the four elements together, like your physical body, your emotions, your mind, and your spirit.
Right.
So we have to work on all the four aspects together. You can't only work on one aspect and say that everything gonna be fine. You have to work. Sometimes it's like your mind is calculating something, doing very good, everything is going fine, but your body collapses. So to take care of that body also, when you actually, you know, strengthen your body also with a better diet and the things that the body require, the hydration part, everything. So that will take care of that also. And emotion is a very, you know, a spirit, a thirst that actually makes you go and do things. Like for me, many times it happens to like somebody just hurts my ego. And I'll make sure I'm just above that thing. I can give you an example. One lady, she used to be my farmer, not my trainer exactly, but like a trainer. And she said to my friend that she won't be able to handle the stage alone. You better take her under her supervision. This is like long time back. And it just hurt my ego. Like, really? I can't handle it?
Okay.
And I made sure that I have like done or talked on stages several times, and I always send her the link.
So is it like her words pushed you to be better?
Absolutely. That's what I say, that she is not, I'm not saying she's a bad person or something, but I say she was an inspiration for me. He made me do that. So your emotion triggers are really helpful. It totally, your mindset or perception, you want to take it in a negative way or in a positive way. I would say those were the good people who came into my life to give me a good push.
Yeah, at times that are the kind of pushes that we want in life.
Absolutely.
As much as we would want like our supportive people, surround ourselves with supportive people, that also helps. Like the negative motivation also helps.
Yeah, yeah. Not negative motivation. I'll say a good critic. Oh.
Yep, yep. That's a better way to put it.
Absolutely. They were negative and positive. It's all about how you see it. There's nothing right and wrong. It's all about how you see it. It's just like that two people fighting, you know, on the border. And one is from your country and another maybe from another country. And you're cheering for your country and other person cheering for their country. Basically, they are killing each other. Now you tell me, killing each other is a good thing.
That I don't think so. Anybody can say that. But definitely, I mean, there is always two stories of...
Exactly. Of the coin. Of the
coin. Yeah, definitely.
So it's your idea what you choose.
Guys, this is only part one. Wait for the exciting part two where we discuss healing and self-love in the corporate world in this era of AI. If you want to stay ahead of the curve and dig deep into the fabric of modern work, you know what to do. Hit that follow button. Share this podcast with your network and drop us a review on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you tune in. Your feedback not only supports us, but also helps us connect with more inquisitive minds like yours. By the way, if you're looking to get in touch with today's guest, I've got you covered. Check out the description for their contact details. And if you feel inspired to chat directly with me about these compelling subjects, you can book a quick call through my Calendly or shoot me an email. All the links are in the description. This is your host, Kritika Kashyap, reminding you that the future of work is here and it's evolving fast. So let's explore it together. Until next time.